Did you meet after the meeting, before the meeting? Did you have separate days or nights for your executive committee? How long were those meetings with your executive committee?
Well, first of all, we would meet usually after our meeting in a separate meeting. Now, our meeting's on the weekend, so that worked out well. Okay, so nobody was running off to work, or it wasn't 10 o'clock at night. Okay, so we meet from 9 to 12 on a weekend day. So we'd meet immediately afterwards. I tried to keep all of our executive meetings very short and direct. Okay, these were reporting meetings where people would come in and report what was going on in their area.
Did you have an agenda for the executive committee?
I would have an agenda set out, and everybody knew that they were going to report in a certain order. I would start with the secretary, then I would go to the vice president of membership, then I would go to the treasurer. We go right down the order and on what order they were going to report in, and I also had defined for them what they were going to report. Okay, so we actually sat down and said, what's the critical data you need to report? You know, as an example, the vice president of membership needs to talk about how many guests have we had, how many people have signed up as new members, where are we for the year, and how many potential members do we have out there on that, and then any game they're going to play, any create they're going to do for their post to get new members in, they would say, I've got this game I'm going to work out. So this was a reporting meeting. Now, I would then, when I talk about that communication outside the meeting, I would be talking to each one of these members individually on the details of what needed to be getting done. But I didn't want to waste everybody's time in a meeting going into, you know, an hour discussion with the Vice President of Education on why we've got 12 members that are behind on their education goal and I can't get them in to speak. Okay, I'm going to work with him on an individual basis to debug that situation and see what we can do to get that happening.
Well, speaking of the Educational Vice President, you have 95 members in your club. How does that poor Vice President of Education ever do all the scheduling and making sure everybody gets their goals? You must have come up with another answer.
We pay them well.
Boy, I'm in the wrong job.
Now, actually, first of all, to clarify, we had 95 members. We had about 55 to 60 active members. Now, I just want to make this point. Most clubs that I have been out to had the problem of losing membership and not having enough membership. We had the problem of people having a baby, getting a new job, moving out of the city, going back to school, but refusing to drop out of the club even though they couldn't come. We had 35 people that insisted on continuing to pay their dues because they wanted to be part of this club, but they couldn't be there right now. So we had the opposite problem where we had membership, but you know, so we had about 55, 60 people, so it was a little bit more manageable, but we wound up actually creating another post that we called the Vice President of Production, whose sole job was to schedule everybody, and then the Vice President of Education's sole job was seeing that people met their educational requirements because it was too much for one person. You know, but that's something that we just specifically did in our club, and most clubs don't need to do that.
Great, great. Let's talk about energy. You keep touching upon how important energy is, but I'm not sure I totally understand that in the context of a Toastmasters club.
Well, let me go back to when I said our club was failing and we were getting 10 members to a meeting even though we had more than 40 members in the club itself. The primary thing that was going on there is that the meetings were extremely low energy meetings. We had one president at that point who was very heavy-handed and was trying to rule by a lot of force and a lot of laws and a lot of rules. And I mean, we almost would have had to create a police force just to keep track of all the rules he came up with. You know, if you were late for the meeting, there was a fine. If you hadn't been there for three meetings, you couldn't speak, all these things. And it didn't make it fun at all.
Kind of a heavy atmosphere.
Heavy-handed on the thing. And then the next president we had just had no energy. He was a very conservative gentleman, and he just didn't have a lot of energy. And so what I realized is that these meetings just getting people together doesn't create something. You have to create the life energy in the meeting, and you have to bring that group up. And so the meetings have to be extremely energetic meetings. And you look at the things you love to go to. If you go out and see a comedian and the person is dead and boring, you never go back. But if you're laughing and you feel the energy in that room, you want to come back and you really enjoyed that. It was a great experience. Now, when we went to turn the club around, we actually surveyed our members to see why they came and why they weren't coming. The number one reason they were coming to the meeting was to have fun. And the number two reason was to be with their friends And the number three reason was finally to get improvement in their public speaking and leadership skills. So we knew we had to create a fun, friendly environment. And if that environment ever ceased to be fun and ever ceased to be friendly, then the club was going to die. And so those are critical points, that fun, friendly energy. And when I say fun and friendly, that also comes into another area I talk about. It has to be a safe place to fail. It has to be a safe place to make mistakes.